With the Lord's help, let's turn together to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 11.
Nađeno je Evanđelje po Luci, 11. glava. Evanđelje po Luci, 11. glava.
The hymn that we opened up with this afternoon is so fitting for this passage of Scripture as it speaks of the Lord as our Father, guiding us, providing for us, and giving us all things that are good. I'm very thankful for that. Luke chapter 11. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciple. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend? And shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, Though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? I'd like to conclude with verse 13. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. May we all bow before him in prayer. This chapter begins with the disciples observing their master. They're watching him pray and taking note that there is something that they would like to learn. There's something that perhaps they didn't understand, and they opened their mouth and they asked. That didn't always happen. Sometimes there were things that they did not understand, but they were afraid to ask. But their desire was such, when they saw their master praying, that they were willing to open their mouths to ask the Lord to teach them about prayer. And it's no wonder. It's no wonder to us why the disciples were so eager to understand what Jesus knew and how he would have them to pray. For we can see that all of the work that Jesus was doing for the kingdom, was foundational, this prayer life that he had. Jesus said that he did nothing except what the Father showed him. And so it was in those sweet hours of prayer and fellowship with his Father that he received. And then he acted. We see in the Luke gives so much insight into Jesus' prayer life. We see him praying alone. And before praying alone before he chose his disciples, making decisions. And some of you are like that. You're making decisions. You're seeking to know the will of God. You're wanting direction. And Jesus gives a pattern for you to not take a step except the Father shows you where to go, how fast. We see Jesus praying in groups. He took John and Peter and James and brought them together. They were praying together, and they were able to witness the transfiguration. And then here, again, they're praying together. And now they are eager. When Jesus blessed the bread and the fish that were divided among them, and they witnessed how God had provided for them in abundance for the whole multitude, they must have known and they must have seen how important Jesus' prayer life was in the work that he was doing. And they had a hunger and a thirst to follow him. They wanted to have the fervent love and service in the kingdom of God as well. We read in the epistles also of Jesus and his prayers. We read in Hebrews chapter 5. The word says that of Christ, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Jesus prayed. He offered supplications, and he interceded. And maybe it was Peter that asked. It doesn't say, but we do know that Peter benefited greatly because Jesus prayed fervently with crying and tears for him, so that when he was tested, that his faith would not fail. Are you not thankful? Am I not thankful for how fervent Jesus was in his prayers? And yet, I also learned something here in these verses that speak of Jesus and his prayers. He prayed to the one that was able to save him from death. But he said, not my will, but thine be done. And yet it says he was heard in that he feared. And that gives me great comfort, for I don't know if you have ever experienced a time when you had a desire and prayed something and had to say, not my will, but thine be done. And find out that God's direction was different than you had originally expected. That is okay. It is okay that prayer is not the means by which we get everything that we want. But we learn what we should desire, even when we don't get what we want. And what a blessing it is, even when God chooses in his wisdom to say no, or I have something better for you, or you need to wait, that we would know that he has heard us. And we can go through the trial knowing that he is near to us and he's not far away, that gives us great comfort and peace. Certainly even more comfort and peace even than obtaining the thing that we maybe asked for. But to have him and know that he hears us and that he's near to us. And then it goes on to say, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. It's good to remember the tears and the agony of our Savior and the good that it brought out for us in salvation. And it's good to remember that he prays fervently. He prays with such feeling. For he is not done praying. He continues. He says in Hebrews chapter 7, wherefore he is also able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. When we learn about Jesus and how he prays, let us take heart that he does not slumber or sleep in his intercession and praying on our behalf, that we could be strengthened in faith, that we would be able to find that which we need to live for him, to serve in his kingdom, to overcome and to find salvation as we come to God by him. This is the heart of prayer that Jesus exhibited that made the disciples desire to learn. And they asked, teach us to pray as John taught his disciple. And Jesus gives them, as we know, the Lord's Prayer, a prayer that even the children know by heart. And how good it is that we teach the children to pray and teach them these words of truth. And as we grow older, don't we learn that each of these expressions that Jesus gives to fill our prayers have so much meaning? Perhaps as a child, we maybe repeated them and said them over, and it would just take one person just saying, Our Father, and then the words would just come out. And we would just kind of be able to say it so quickly. But when we think about what Jesus has given to us and the insight that he has given to us in who our Father is and what our desires should be, it's amazing how that prayer we learned as children has so much meaning. And Jesus continues on and teaches them how to pray. And then he concludes with a lesson on who we are praying to. It's important to remember who we are praying to. Prayer can become a habit or a routine that we go through, and we can lose the meaning and lose sight that we are praying to a living God. That is true for pagans. They don't pray to a living God. And Jesus upbraided and spoke against making vain repetitions as the heathen do. So how important and good it is for us to remember that we are praying to a living God. And what does it say about the one that we are praying to? He says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? And no father would do this to a son, to give something dangerous when when they're asking for something for their health and for their need? And so Jesus says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? In the account in Matthew, I believe it says that how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? The one that we are praying to has an abundance and is willing, even more than our earthly fathers or earthly parents, to give us good things. What does the Word teach us are the good things or the best gifts? Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit that he offers to those that ask him. I was reminded this morning, brother reminded me that this time of year is a time that would come after Easter where the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the disciples at Pentecost, where they were given the gifts of tongues and they could speak in languages so that the world could hear the wonderful works of God and serve in his kingdom and bring together people that were different and far apart from each other into one body by Jesus Christ. James also speaks of a gift that God is willing to give that is a good gift. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. But when we ask in faith, taking what we have learned from the Scripture about who God is, he is willing to give wisdom. For the one who would be willing to accept the direction and the way to apply knowledge in the way that God sees fit, he's willing to give. So that speaks to my heart about how ready I am to receive whatever wisdom God would provide. Am I ready for his answer? Am I willing? Am I asking in faith, believing that I will take this step when he provides his answer? God can provide wisdom to anyone who is asking in faith. And by that wisdom, we'll grow. We'll understand God's will. And we won't need to be like waves of the sea tossed to and fro. What is God ultimately desiring to give us? The wisdom of God, the Holy Spirit, all good things. In summary, all these good things come when we, in our hearts, are united with Jesus Christ. And Paul writes to the Romans, reminding us of our Father and his love for us, in that he spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. This is your Father who has given his Son. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All good things that are revealed of God are to be found in Jesus Christ. Paul says, I believe, to the Philippians. Maybe it's another epistle, I'm sorry. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Seek him. Seek the best gifts. There is a truth that's being revealed, and God is willing to give good gifts. But with that truth about God, and knowing that, it's very powerful. Because we cannot do anything against the truth. We can only do things for the truth. But we have a decision. When we come into contact with Scripture that teaches us about God, it's like coming to a crossroad. And the choice that we make about what we learn about God will either lead us closer to him or farther from him. God is willing to give us good gifts. Do I agree that the things that he has revealed in his word are good? If I do, I find that there's a burden that's lifted from my heart. And I find an easy yoke in Jesus Christ. And I can follow willingly. And I draw closer to him. But if I decide, no, I'd rather have something else. I have a better idea in mind. Then that path will take us away from God. Towards uncertainty. May it be with us that we take the words of Jesus Christ that teach us of the Father who's willing to give, that we would agree with him that the things that he offers unto us are good. And that our prayer would be that our hearts would be molded to have the desire for those things, to love those things. Jesus speaks about how to pray. He gives an example and a parable of, or an example from everyday life, which might happen, of a man that had a visitor come at an unexpected time in the night, and he goes to his neighbor and asks him for 3 loaves. Not a huge request, because the young boy, I believe, who had 5 loaves and 2 fishes for his lunch. This is just 3 perhaps small loaves. The friend, or the neighbor answers and says, "Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise to give thee." So he wasn't willing to give him simply because he was his friend, because they had that relationship. Yet, it says, because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Importunity meaning because of his persistence. And when we see that this neighbor is persistent in asking and then receiving the thing that he had looked for, it makes the rest make so much more sense. As Jesus says, what you should do is ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Be persistent in your asking. Seek the things that are good and seek them persistently. Jesus speaks later in Luke about a parable of a widow that was asking to be avenged. And he said these things so that they would pray and they would not faint. We are taught to ask, to seek and to knock. And we are taught this so that we do not give up. We all have an adversary who is seeking to discourage, to dishearten, to turn us away from seeking God, from asking for his help, from knocking at his door and pleading with him for more of himself, for more of his good gifts. But Jesus is prompting us. He's encouraging us, don't give up. And that speaks to one and all. Discouragement can be seen and faced by people of any age. For the old, for the young, for the middle-aged. Everyone needs to hear the call of Jesus Christ for us to endure to the end, to persevere, to keep going. There's not one that is more important for, but particularly on my heart, is those that of you that may have begun to seek, begun to knock and to ask, but maybe became discouraged and have stopped. Many of us were there too. And God is good. He's willing to give good gifts. Do not give up. Do not despair. Do not listen to the tempter who is seeking to occupy you with things that will never satisfy. But turn to the Lord. Ask again. Knock upon his door. Seek. When you seek for something that is valuable, that you need to find, you don't stop until you have it. And when you do, there's nothing else you need. And sometimes, well, there will be times in life when learning a spiritual lesson or gaining spiritual insight or the help that we need is not an easy road, but it is worthwhile. There are sometimes feelings that we have when we get excited about the prospects of some new thing, and that can go for physical things as well as spiritual things. But if it comes quickly, it can also leave quickly. Sometimes those things that the Lord has taught us that we need to spend time pursuing become the most valuable. So don't give up. Don't lose heart. Believe what the Word has taught you about your Heavenly Father and come to him. Come to him, as Jesus says, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." With a heart of reverence. It's been said that the course of a man's life and the decisions that he'll make and the values that he has can often be told by what comes to his mind when he thinks of God. And Jesus in his prayer is training us to have a high view of God in reverence to him, to come before him, recognizing who he is. He says, "Thy kingdom come." Period. Something of prominence in the prayer that Jesus has given is, "Thy kingdom come." This would have been something that John the Baptist would have been praying about too. The kingdom of God. What does that mean to you? That the kingdom of God would come. That he would rule, that he would reign. That he would be our all in all. that we look forward to the fulfillment of all his promises and so much more. Jesus says in Matthew, when he talks about this prayer, that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, the food, the clothing, all other things would be provided. That is a test of faith, to seek him first. Do you remember last Sunday afternoon, we were taught about the bread of life? And we were encouraged to wake up in the morning, to think of no one else but Jesus Christ, to think of him first, to put him as highest priority, and to value and to love him. I know that all who did found great blessing on those days that we did listen to what we heard last week and put it into practice. Jesus says, forgive us our sins. Jesus teaches his disciples to pray for forgiveness. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. These words truly probe our hearts. When we say that we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, it probes our heart to know, is it true? Do I hold anything against anyone? Do I have anything in my heart that I haven't unburdened and let the Lord take care of? I hope and pray that as we've taken this hour to meditate upon the teaching that Jesus Christ has given us regarding prayer, that he would probe our hearts, that he would probe my heart, that when I come before him in prayer day by day, that I would learn more of him, that I'd learn that there's something that I need to grow in, that I can benefit from by being in his presence. May he bless his word. Amen.
God's name, we know, is holy. He exalts his name, and he promises to punish all who will take his holy name in vain. So when we approach God, Jesus teaches us to hallow his name. Hallowed be thy name. This is who we are praying to. So when we pray, we don't do it flippantly in a non-serious way, but when we kneel before God, we are to reverence him and pray to him. And Jesus is teaching. We know that we can see the next time that he is in prayer, he is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he is always in prayer. And the disciples are seeing this from him, and they're asking themselves or him that they would be taught of him. And we see at the close of what we have read here, the most important thing that Jesus deems that we are to receive is his Holy Spirit. Because when we are empowered by his Holy Spirit, we are going to be able to go through whatever life takes us to. We can see that with the apostles who, Paul, when he prays and when he asks for the prayers of the church for him, he says, pray that I would have boldness to speak. That's it. That I would have boldness so I could speak the truths that is found, that are truth, the truths that are found in Christ. We see here of an unpreparedness of, I believe, what Jesus is teaching here. He's not saying that the friend is going to give to the friend, even though he doesn't want to, but he gives to him, he says, because of his persistence. But what we find here is the friend who is receiving friends isn't prepared. And so let's think about our own lives. If we see someone in need of what? In need of Christ. Are we prepared? Are we prepared? Is our life prepared? Is God, as Peter says, he says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Sanctify him in your hearts. It doesn't say, just speak of Jesus. He says, no. Sanctify him in your heart. Then, he says, then you will be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the reason of the hope. What is our hope? It's the Holy Spirit who is in us. So when Jesus gives us his Spirit and we sanctify him in our hearts, we are ready to speak then to those who are in need. And so Jesus is teaching us to be ready always to speak and to teach. And those who knock, our dear friends, God is there. He will open the door. And he teaches us forgiveness. And throughout, dear ones, we who have been baptized in the death of Christ, who have received the Spirit of God, we have. Much more is being asked of us. When we ask for our forgiveness, Jesus says, you will be forgiven when you forgive. Can we approach God and ask him, forgive me as I have forgiven others? We tied ourselves up. We totally tied ourselves up. What is our heart like? Resentment, grudges, I'm going to get him, I'm going to gossip. We do. And when we do that, we are void of the power of the Holy Spirit. And we don't know what to say to those who are lost because our lives have forsaken the words that we are ready to speak. And we are tongue-tied, and we can't say what we want to say because our lives are not in alignment because we haven't sanctified the Lord in our hearts. So, dear ones, as we have learned this beautiful lesson on prayer and how holy our God is as we approach him, and he listens, and he is willing to give us of his Holy Spirit, who will then direct us throughout everything, as the apostles have asked, as the brother prayed, and it was so fitting because this is what we often lack. And how often do we really ask? As we question even our own faith. Faith. It's faith that saves us. It's faith that empowers us. It's all about faith. When we lack, do we add? The disciples said, increase our faith, Lord. Increase our faith. And we can do that through the receiving of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, I am so willing to give him to you. So let's ask. With sincere hearts as we approach a holy God and ask for faith and the empowerment of his Holy Spirit. May God bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.